Well, well, here we are.
How can we love our country and not love our countrymen?
I have really nothing to, how do you answer that?
I feel like I'm taking crazy pills!
Hello, you speak English, sir? Paula Usted English?
All right, people, we're going to try something a little different today.
We are a nation that has a government, not the other way around.
Don't mess with the bull, young man. You'll get the horns.
I cannot solve your problem, sir. Only you can.
We, as Americans, have the capacity now, as we've had in the past, to do whatever needs to be done to preserve this last and greatest bastion of freedom.
Discussing the issues that actually matter. Finding the answers using logic and reason. KLZ 560 presents Rush to Reason. Now here is your host, John Rush.
And I'm your host, John Rush, Rush to Reason, KLZ 560. Happy Tuesday, myself, Charlie, and Andy, and should be the Trump train any moment now. There we go. Right on, let me get Andy's mic up. There we go, right on cue.
Now I'm on Trump train!
Okay, yesterday's impossible question.
Yes.
I can't believe Charlie didn't get this. I had text messages later that they think they know why. It's because Charlie's a greenie. 64% of people in the U.S. own at least one product made by this company. Answer is Apple.
You know, I
Charlie
actually...
Charlie knew the answer.
I actually guessed this one wrong. I said Microsoft.
Still a good guess.
Yeah, you know.
Charlie did not partake.
You did not partake?
No. After the... That number might go up, actually, after the... new iPhone announced today. Hard to say. Oh, Charlie says, Adam and Eve said it was evil. Okay.
Well, they had a point, John. They had
why,
a point.
And here's a little trivia. Why the name? In Steve Jobs' biography, Steve told Walter Isaacson that he was on one of my fruitarian diets and had just come back from an apple farm and thought the name sounded fun-spirited and not intimidating. In 89, though, Apple Computer Inc. was sued by Apple Records over trademark violations of the name Apple. But I think we know who came out on top on that one. Okay, so today's impossible question. Answer this on the KLZ 560 Facebook page. 87% of parents say their children look up to this person. Who is it? 87% of parents say their children look up to this person. Who is it? Charlie says their teacher.
Yeah.
I was the 13%, if that was the answer.
Yeah, I wouldn't have said that, but, and I was a liberal too, but no, I wouldn't have said that. I would have said a parent.
I think Charlie's right.
Dad.
Yeah, Jordan, what do you think, sir? Jordan Goodman, by the way, America's Money Answer Man with us.
Wait, that's the answer. 87% said
Jordan.
They would look up to Jordan
there
Goodman.
There we go.
That's good. I'll take it. Bill Gates.
Bill Gates. Okay. 87%. That's a high number. Anyways.
It is, but I think he's very popular, and he hasn't done anything wrong, and he's done good things.
Well, I mean, he's no Jordan Goodman.
That's true.
That's true.
Happy to, and by the way, as a side note, I hate Microsoft and Bill Gates as much as Charlie hates Apple and Tim Cook, just a side note.
I don't hate either, should I?
I hate Microsoft with a passion. I don't know why. I just do. It's me. I know. It's
do you,
me.
Do you pick it out in front of their offices?
I could probably, actually.
Okay.
No, I never will. Happy 245th birthday to the U.S. Navy. As sailors, they've always been Americans' away team. And today, after 245 years, the Navy continues to stand the watch at home and around the world. So happy birthday, U.S. Navy. There you go. All right, Jordan, how are you today, sir?
Very good. Very good.
So, lots going on in the not just the world today, but in the United States of America as well, financially speaking, and in every other area.
That is true. I mean, we really need a stimulus bill, and we're not getting one, and that's been the problem right now.
See, that's where you and I disagree. I don't want one. I don't want any more debt.
Well, meanwhile, out there in the real world, people are really hurting. I mean, the unemployed are not getting their benefits.
The unemployed need to go find a job and go to work.
It's not easy finding a job when all the businesses are closing.
Let me get in the middle of you two for just a second.
Good.
Okay, John, we do need the stimulus if we are not going to unleash these economies, if we're not going to take away all the restrictions, and if we're going to leave these COVID restrictions this severe in so many states around the country, then we have to do the stimulus.
Now, and the virus is rising. The virus is rising in most states, and the restrictions are going to be worse. And as we go into the winter and the fall here, we're going to have higher. We're getting up to like 49, 50,000 new cases a day.
Yeah, and but they're just cases. My point on that is they're
cases. And hospitalizations and deaths.
There's a minor tip up in hospitalizations, but deaths haven't changed.
No, they really haven't.
Well, like 700 or 800 deaths a day, I don't think is very good, frankly.
Actually, out of 330 million people.
First of all, you're talking, Jordan, 330 million people. Secondly, you're talking 700 a day versus numbers that were far higher June and July. And thirdly, keep in mind we are terming anything with COVID attached to it as a COVID death,
right?
Which you wouldn't do with a lot of other.
And as a finance guy, Jordan, you and I both know this. We at some point, we've got to figure out, even with the virus here, even with some of the deaths you just mentioned, the alternative and the debt we're going to incur as a nation is far worse. At some point, we've got to unleash the economy, correct?
No. The only way to get out of this is to get the economy moving again, and people need support. I'll just give you some specific examples. Small businesses need the PPP program, okay? They are being forced to close by the state. If you're a restaurant, or even if you could be open and you're working at 50% of capacity and you can't make it, you need PPP loans to make it until we get – this is like a bridge to the vaccines or therapeutics.
But I don't see you guys disagreeing on that, because it's necessary because the states are closing them down.
Right. It's not their fault.
Let's keep in mind
state mandate that they're having to close.
Let's keep in mind a lot of what's holding back the economy are the mask mandates, and the CDC just came out.
Not arguing that one.
92% of those who get COVID are wearing masks. Okay.
Yep.
So I mean,
I'm with you guys on that one, and I agree. We've got to get people. You know, I guess where I'm coming from, Jordan, is this. I also know there are businesses out there, mine included, where we need people to come to work and just apply and they'll have a job. And I've got clients that I coach that are in the same realm.
I agree.
There are businesses that are trying to hire Jordan, but when we've got folks on the unemployment line and we continue to hand out stimulus money, they're not going to go to work.
But they're getting a lot less. They're not getting 600 a week anymore. They're getting at most 300.
Which they never should have got to begin with. Sorry, that's my position on that. They never should have got 600 a week.
Well, it helped the economy as well as helped these people survive. I mean, can you try living on $300 a week? I think it's going to be kind of hard.
But, Jordan, how long can we charge our economy on our kids' credit cards?
A long way to go. Our debt is roughly 100% of GDP. Japan's is 2.5 times GDP, and they're still alive. China's is way, way higher than ours. We have a lot of debt. But compared to GDP, it's relatively low compared to other countries, other advanced countries.
Well, and that's why our dollar still continues to be I'm sorry, I'll just say it this way, the worst turd on the planet, but it's still the best turd.
Yeah, well, that's true. And we are still the reserve currency of the world. But this is a time, I mean, you're almost sounding like Herbert Hoover, okay?
Here's my position. You know me, Jordan. I'll admit it. I'm a workaholic. I believe in work, and I believe that everybody should be rewarded
too.
For the work that they do. I hate giving out free money, which I look at social programs as nothing more than free money. And as long as we give out free money, it disincentivizes people to go out and get a real job, which in the end actually affects the economy as well. That's my
position. On the margin,
position.
A little bit. But I think most people want to work. Most people do not want to collect unemployment. And you're not getting rich at $600 a week as we had before. They're barely surviving as it is.
Well, Jordan, let's face facts here. Even the WHO just came out against lockdowns.
Shutdowns, yes.
Shutdowns. Yeah. They just came out. They basically just confessed that everything they put out for several months destroyed humanity. All right?
Yeah.
I mean, that's basically what they confessed when you get right down to it.
Well, I mean, there are countries that have done this successfully. For example, China, okay? China is over the virus right now, and their economy is growing again.
Yeah,
they took severe message. We never took things as severe as they. Taiwan is another example. South Korea, other places
have
worked.
One second. We don't have accurate numbers on deaths from China, though. You know that.
I mean, you just look at their economy, and people are out and about. And
I saw a report
the other day.
They're out
as though it never happened. So, and Taiwan,
but then we can
other
also
places.
Compare us to places like Sweden, where they didn't do any of the hard lockdowns like we've done.
Correct.
And they're doing very well again.
Not so well. They still have a lot of infections there. They're not
but
on the downslope.
But economically speaking is what I mean. I'm not talking – and just as a side note, and I don't want to sound hard or harsh, and anybody that's died of COVID or died of any reason, yes, my heart goes out to them, their family. I get it. A loss is still a loss, and I understand that. But I also understand I'm a very – reasonable individual. That's why we call the program what it is. People die every day. We lose 2.5 million people a year in this country to all sorts of things that people die of, from old age to heart disease to diabetes to on down the line we go. So if you look across that whole thing, yes, my heart goes out to everybody that's actually passed away. Not saying that. But economically speaking, we cannot keep any country closed down just because we're worried about somebody dying. That's my point.
It hurts the economy either way, okay? If you close things down, it hurts the economy. But if you have the virus rising, that hurts the economy. People don't want to go to theaters. They don't want to travel.
But I think what we have to get to at some point, Jordan, this is my opinion, at some point we've got to get to the level where we, like flu, we know the flu exists. We know colds exist. We know diabetes exists. We know there's all sorts of other things in the world that could potentially kill you, but we don't stay home locked in. You know, we don't stay at home locked in our basements because we're fearful of going out into public. At some point, we've got to get to that same level with COVID and quit worrying about the cases that are out there. In fact, I'll even go as far as saying, I don't even care if we test anymore. What I care about is where are we at with hospitalizations and deaths. And as long as they are not rising, I frankly don't care who has it.
Well, that's an unusual view, let's put it that way.
I know.
You're not a public health expert.
I am not. You are correct. No, I am more of what I would consider to be a business/economic expert, and I know that if we continue to drive fear in people of leaving their home for fear they might get COVID, we're never going to get the economy back on track.
Well, I
would disagree with you, because look at what actually happened in real countries that did get COVID under control. As I mentioned, China, Taiwan being two of several examples. Their economy is roaring again.
Okay, so let's do this. Take a break. Come back. Okay. The stock market, despite everything you and I just talked about, is still doing well without the stimulus package. We'll come back, talk about that. If you got questions for Jordan as well. And by the way, Jordan, love you. I love the conversation.
It's great radio.
I appreciate it. We'll be right back. Jordan Goodman, America's Money Answer Man. Don't go anywhere. Extreme Auto Repair is next. Get your vehicle fixed today. Get ready for winter. It's just around the corner, folks. Extreme Auto Repair, right now 15% off. There's a $70 rebate on Cooper tires. And don't forget, they got 18 bays to service you. KLZradio.com or 303-841-1071.
Mistakes happen. Auto repair shops prove their mettle when something goes wrong. The team at Extreme Auto Repair in Parker recognizes that mistakes happen. They're committed to doing what they say, even when that means replacing a failed part for free or honoring the original price they quoted a customer despite unexpected issues. They hear all the time from their loyal customers that's what keeps them coming back because of how the entire team responds when something goes wrong. The techs at Extreme Auto level with you, following through to fix the problem. They don't just replace parts, they repair vehicles. It's that same degree of integrity that keeps their employees around long-term, too. The average Extreme Auto technician has 16-plus years of experience, and they stick around because they share the same commitment when something goes wrong. We do what we say. No arguments, no excuses. Just apologize and work to make it right. KLZradio.com/extreme, promises kept.
Enchanted Kitchens, and if you want that kitchen redone by Christmas, you better get on it because it won't get done before Thanksgiving at this point. You need to get on that now. Go to KLZradio.com, look up Enchanted Kitchens, or call them directly at 303-376-7588.
The number one goal of the Enchanted Kitchens design team is to create a space that fits your daily life. Yes, you want a kitchen that looks nicer and more modern. But for you, the primary value of a redesign is the difference it will make in your everyday life. You need a functional, open space so you can have a pleasant day-to-day experience in your kitchen. Above all, you want a kitchen that works. At Enchanted Kitchens, you will partner with a professional team of designers who know how to ask the right questions to help you plan out the kitchen you and your family really need. As a Rush to Reason listener, after you've visited their experience center, the Enchanted Kitchens team will schedule a follow-up meeting in your home for free to assess your space and learn specifics, like how often do you entertain and for how many. In order to get the functional kitchen of your dreams, you need the Enchanted Kitchens design team on your side. Visit klzradio.com/kitchens, where magic meets design.
Reverse mortgage specialist, that's Bruce Simmons. He is our professor of reverse mortgages. And by the way, it's something we'll talk to Jordan about. Might be an option for some of you listening. Give Bruce a call today if you think it is. 303-467-7821, or again, find him at klzradio.com.
Between the high home values and low interest rates of today's market, you want to call Bruce Simmons now about refinancing your reverse mortgage. Your home value has increased since you first took out your loan. By refinancing at today's low interest rates, you could pull more money out of your home without increasing your loan balance. Convert an even larger portion of the value of your home into tax-free money that you may use however you wish. Plus, as long as you continue to pay your taxes and insurance, you will never need to worry about making a mortgage payment as long as you live in the home. KLZ's reverse mortgage professor, Bruce Simmons, makes a potentially confusing loan program easy to understand. Right now, Bruce can even walk you through the numbers virtually, line by line, from your home computer. Visit klzradio.com/reverse and ask Bruce to run the numbers for you. Find out how much you could benefit from refinancing your reverse mortgage.
Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. Myself, Andy Pate, Charlie Grimes, Jordan Goodman on with us as well. America's Money Answer Man, Ken from Berthet, hang tight. I want to ask Jordan one thing really quickly, and Jordan, that is, why is the stock market doing so well, even with the fact that we don't have a stimulus?
It's looking for several things. First of all, the Federal Reserve money has been pouring in, about $120 billion of new money being printed out of thin air per month. So that's clearly helping the markets, because that's not going into building new factories and things. It's going into the markets for the most part.
Gotcha.
Second thing is hope that there's going to be some kind of a coronavirus vaccine and therapy. We're making progress. All the companies, Eli Lilly and Moderna and Johnson & Johnson and Pfizer and Merck and, you know, all these companies are making progress on various things. So there's a hope that this will be behind us in, whatever, 6 to 9 months.
Okay.
And the third thing is the feeling is there is going to be a stimulus bill. Probably, you know, it's clear it's not going to happen before the election at this point. But the feeling is that after the election, either way, it's going to happen. But what I've been hearing, it's not my opinion, but what I've been hearing is if Biden were to win, Wall Street's saying we'd get a bigger stimulus package, and
that's something they like. No, I think you're correct.
And so the market is saying, well, let's get a bigger stimulus package. It looks like Biden's going to win at the moment. You never know, but that's kind of the feeling. And therefore, we get a bigger stimulus package. Remember, the Democrats originally wanted $3.4 trillion. They've lowered that down to only $2.2 trillion.
Only.
But if Biden gets in there, they'll go back to their three-something trillion, and Wall Street likes that. So I think those are the reasons the stock market in general is doing well when Main Street's hurting.
Gotcha. Okay. Ken in Berthet has a question or a comment. Ken, welcome.
Hey there, John and Jordan. Hey there. So one thing, and then I'll get to my question or my comment. But, you know, I will say this. I don't know if you watch any, like, over-the-air TV. Well, Biden's commercial, one of them says he'll give $30,000+ to every worker. This is for free. You get $14,000 for going to work. You get $7,000 if you have a kid. And then there was like $1,500, $2,000, you know, it all money changed. It's crazy. I mean, so I can understand that probably a lot of the people not working now, seeing that commercial, would love to vote for Biden and not have to work for the next year. They'd get another free $30,000. So anyway,
I have not heard that he's going to give out $30,000. I've heard $1,200, that kind of thing. I have not heard $30,000 to every worker.
Oh, 30? Yeah, watch. Yes, on his ad, you get $14,000. Up to $14,000 for just going to work per person. Then you get $7,000 per person for having kids.
Have you seen this, John?
As Ken's talking, I'm Googling as we speak.
I have not seen that.
I have not seen it either. But I don't watch a lot of TV, guys, so you should not look to me for that answer.
I mean, that would be make the budget deficit just
huge.
I think that would just be just unaffordable. They want to do targeted money for small businesses like the PPP. I think we did have that $1,200 payment and maybe another one like that. They want to have money to the airlines, to the restaurants, to the hotels, targeted. I don't think you give out $30,000 to everybody. I may be wrong, but I have not seen that, I must say.
All right, what's your question, Ken?
Yeah, well,
I'll look
there.
It up. I'll try to look for it while you're doing your question. Go ahead, Ken.
So one of my questions is, if Biden wins, do you think he'll know it?
I think he will.
He'll know.
His advisors will tell him that
he'll know. Yes.
But he can't stay up too late now. After midnight, he
becomes a
Cinderella.
They might have to hold the sign up. They might have to hold the sign up.
They may.
I don't think we're going to know on election night who wins, frankly.
That one, Jordan, I think you and I are in agreement on.
Yeah. So here's what I was calling in about. So I went to the dentist the other day, and I go in Longmont.
Okay.
And the hygienist that was working on me was just filling in. She was a temp from somebody who was sick. She says she has a full-time job in Boulder as a hygienist, but no one will come in unless you do a COVID test every single day. They're that scared.
Wow.
That is why the Democrats, part of why they want the write-in vote where you can mail it in, because I agree with Jordan a bit because the people are so scared.
Correct.
See, John, you were right 6 months ago. But the Democrats are so bloomin' scared, and there are even some conservatives, they don't even want to go out of their house. They're
people are scared.
Scared.
That's why you have such huge amount of absentee ballots coming in, which is why you're not going to get a decision on election night, because they can't even open those absentee ballots until election day, and it's going to take quite a while to process literally millions of absentee votes.
So you go in some of those areas that are predominantly Democrat, like Boulder.
Yeah,
they're all wearing masks. You are hard pressed to find a person.
No doubt about that. No, I won't argue that one. You're correct,
and that's why it's spreading. Why the rates are going up, because people are not being careful enough. So I think masks are a good idea.
That's true.
But you're right. I mean, this is why, for example, Regal Theaters just closed 663 theaters. They're the second largest exhibitor of movies. People were not willing to go to movies. And, they're very, very scared, correctly. Even if we get a vaccine, Ken, something I've seen polls of 50% of people said they're not willing to take it. So even if we get the magic bullet, a lot of people are not going to be willing to take it.
Correct. Just a side note, I'm one of those. I don't need it. I'm willing to go on my own without it. I'm not worried about it. And I think, by the way, I'm not the only one out there that say that.
Right. So it may not be the magic bullet we talk about.
No, I don't think it is.
I don't think you could do mandatory. Well,
no.
There are ways to do mandatory. Like, you can't go to school
right.
if you don't have an inoculation.
Well, and certain businesses can do it. I mean, we believe in a free market with businesses making up their own rules if they want. And if they decide they don't want to do business with you if you don't have a vaccine, that's their prerogative.
Yeah, but it's going to be a patchwork. It's not going to be everybody
having it. I agree with that one. Ken, Bertha, I got to let you go. Ken and Centennial is next. Ken and Centennial, welcome. You're on with Jordan Goodman.
Oh, hi, John. Thanks. Hey, a couple months ago, Jordan was talking to the previous Ken that was just on, and he asked him, and I didn't have a chance to write it down, but he was asking him what would be some good – I have a certain amount of money and just savings right now that I'm getting zero interest on.
Sure.
Could you repeat – there was like three or four tickers that you were looking at for –
Well, not tickers. Are you talking about savings accounts or stocks?
Well, stocks, ETFs, whatever it was that you mentioned last time.
I mean, I could tell you about two places that are savings accounts where you've got FDIC insurance. There's one called Consumers Credit Union, which is currently paying 4.09%. And then the other one's called Linus, L-I-N-U-S, which is currently paying 4.5%. So that's for a money market fund where your principal is secure.
Yeah.
I have links to both of those at the Resource Center at moneyanswers.com. Just look under Make Money and you'll see the links to those places. So that's where your principal is not at risk. As far as stocks, obviously you've got more volatility in your principal there, but you can get much higher yields. Real estate investment trusts have yields in the 8-9% range, for example. Business development companies, BDCs, would be yielding in the 8-9% range as well. Master limited partnerships, there are loads of ways of getting higher yields, but obviously you've got more capital risk there.
Gotcha.
Okay. All right. Thanks for your time. I appreciate it.
You're very welcome, Ken. Appreciate it very much. All right. With that, we'll take a quick timeout. We'll come right back. Again, Jordan Goodman with us. It's America's Money Answer Man, but it's moneyanswers.com. That's the website Jordan was just referring to, moneyanswers.com. Franktown Firearms is next, folks, and we found out on Friday they've got plenty of inventory. So if you're looking for ammo, if you're looking for a gun, if you're looking for training, they've got it all, one-stop shopping. Go to klzradio.com or call 720-770-7777.
Get to the range at Franktown Firearms and get your shooting skills back in shape. You consider yourself an experienced shooter, but you haven't been to the range in a while. Remember, defensive shooting skills are perishable. Firing a gun is not like riding a bike. Unless you practice regularly, don't count on your muscle memory to kick in when you need it. The team at Franktown Firearms believes the only difference between a beginner and an expert is practice. They want to give you the certainty that in a fight or flight scenario, you won't freeze. Imagine your frustration should you find yourself in the situation where you need to defend yourself or others, and you don't react the way you thought you would. Make sure you can count on your instincts. Sign up for a membership now. Mention KLZ Radio for a discount on your initiation fee. Walk-ins and non-members also welcome. Visit klzradio.com/Franktown now. Franktown Firearms, where friends are made.
And as we talk about money with Jordan Goodman, Al Smith is our financial advisor. He would love to help you out with all of your retirement planning, making sure you can get to retirement and then stay there once you get there. Wealth accumulation versus retirement planning. Go to klzradio.com or call 303-744-1128.
As people move toward the last phase of their lives, retirement, they're faced with many decisions, most of which are financial. For some, that can be filled with anxiety and uncertainty. I'm Al Smith, owner of Golden Eagle Financial, and I've been guiding people for many years as they prepare for or make that transition. I will listen very patiently about what you want your retirement to look like before I make any recommendations. In addition to creating the financial elements of a sound retirement plan, I'll share what I've learned from my clients about what they've done to make their final years fulfilling. It involves finding your purpose in retirement. For many, that may include giving back and helping those who need it. Arrange your free consultation with me, Al Smith of Golden Eagle Financial, now at klzradio.com/money.
Advisory services offered through Foundations Investment Advisors, an SEC-registered investment advisor.
Now is the time to zero in on your target audience. So many businesses spread themselves too thin by trying to reach an enormous pool of customers. John Rush can help you define your niche, trimming the fat so you can maximize your profits. Not just surviving the shutdowns, but actually beating out your competition with smarter business strategies. You've done a good job staying afloat. Now it's time to hone in on your most profitable customers. Reach John now at RushToReason.com.
This is Josh with Business Equipment Service. Here's a message from one of our satisfied customers. Julie says, "Thank you so much for a great experience and your attention to the details. I was truly impressed with what we got for our money." If you are looking into purchasing office equipment or have a problem with equipment you currently have, give us a call at 303-825-5664.
Stay up to date with Rush to Reason after the show on Twitter at Rush to Reason and on Facebook.com/Rush to Reason.
All right, Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. More calls coming in. If you want to talk to Jordan, please do so. 303-477-5600. That's why he's here. Answer calls. All right, interest rates, Jordan, are still low.
Yes.
Explain why.
Well, the Fed Reserve has brought interest rates down to zero with what they control, which is what's called the Fed funds rate. And they say they're going to keep rates at zero through 2023. They've never done that before.
Whoa.
But we know that rates are going to stay low because of that.
Okay.
That's brought down other rates. There are two big forces. There are inflationary forces and deflationary forces. And right now, the deflationary forces are what is winning. And that's what's bringing interest rates down. The inflationary forces are all the government spending and all the Fed Reserve printing money. The deflationary forces are the slow economy, falling commodity prices like oil's down to 40 instead of 60 or 80. Less demand means prices go down. So the deflationary forces are winning. In Europe, they still have negative interest rates. They've had this for about 3 years now.
Yeah.
A German 10-year bond is minus 0.5%. Okay, so you think our rates are low. They're literally negative and have been for quite a while now in Europe and Japan and other places. So the deflationary forces are winning, and that's why rates are so low.
Gotcha. All right. Susan joining us now. Susan, you're on with Jordan Goodman.
Hi, John.
Hey.
Hi, Jordan.
How are you?
John, good. Hey, John, I just wanted to make a really quick comment. I heard the caller say people in Boulder are afraid to go to the dentist. And being a hygienist, I wanted just to reinforce that it is safe to go to the dentist to see your hygienist. In fact, it's essential that your oral health be
true.
Good to help prevent anything, COVID, you know, a heart disease, anything. So I just wanted to reassure everybody that it is safe. And
okay.
please go see your dentist and hygienist.
Appreciate that. Thank you, Susan.
And people not
yes,
doing other
I appreciate
doctor
that.
Appointments, too.
Yeah,
I mean,
no, you're right,
other
Jordan.
Regular
yeah,
doctor
yeah,
appointments.
Yeah, they're avoiding all sorts of things, which...
Right.
Which, and I don't know about your area, but here, Jordan, I mean, that stuff's all open. People can go and get those things done. They
right.
may not be able to bring, you know, certain family members or what have you with them, but you can still go to the doctor and get the other things done.
And the hospital.
You need
the hospitals
to.
Have lost a huge amount of business from elective surgeries and things that they normally would have because people are afraid to go to the hospital. It's and COVID is not a profitable disease for hospitals.
No, it is not. In fact, there's been some... even medical facilities and such around us that have, you know, even as far as the office space is concerned, they're occupying, have shut down and gone away, which is not
right.
good either.
Right. People are afraid. They're very afraid. And that's going to take a while. As I said, even when you get a vaccine, they're still going to be afraid. This has long-term consequences here.
Yeah. To me, the only, and I maybe I'm wrong, and I guess time will tell whether I am or not, but the data, you know, I'm one of these, you know, believe the science as long as the data backs it up. I'm not just one to believe science to believe science. If the data will back up the science, then great, I'm in. But if the science is just out there and there's no data to back it up, i.e. we had people in Colorado claiming that we'd have 4 million deaths as a country. We haven't come even close to that.
No.
And I don't know that we would have come close to that even if you'd have done, you know, if you wouldn't have done any of the shutdowns or anything else, Jordan, I don't think we'd have seen 4 million people die. And
not
I think
that many.
You just wouldn't have seen that. So at some point, we've got to get over this fear. And frankly, I don't think that fear is going to end until the election's over. That's just my own two cents.
Yeah, I think fear is going to end when we have a vaccine that's widely out there in therapeutics. I mean, one of the reasons the death rate has come down is we do have some therapeutics.
We do have therapeutics, that's
and
correct.
Things that have helped that we shouldn't have. I mean, the president got dexamethasone and,
right.
You know, remdesivir, and he seems to have come through it quite quickly, actually.
Correct.
A lot of people get those things and it doesn't help them. So we didn't have that back in March when this thing
came
out.
No, we've learned a ton. And the problem that I see is we're not talking about some of what you just said near enough to let people know that if you do get it, there are ways to, you know, especially if you're healthy and you're under the age of, you know, say 65 and under and you're healthy, you know, your chances of dying are really, really, really slim.
Yeah, but they, you know, younger people still are dying to some extent, but a lot fewer than older people for sure.
Yeah, it's, yeah.
But the fear, as far as the economic view, the fear is still driving a weak economy, no question.
I mean, the you know, just back to your fear a moment ago, if you're under the age of 65, your chance of dying in a car accident far outweigh that of COVID, but yet
yes.
we don't fear getting in the car and driving to work.
That's true. But that's something we've been used to. This is a new phenomenon, and you can't see it, and you don't know who has it. And people who are asymptomatic, you can get it from. So that's where the fear comes, because you kind of don't know what you're dealing with here.
Nope, I can't argue with you on that one. But again, at some point, you know, and this is something that bothers me about all this. As Americans, this is typically not the way we respond to things. And I think you've seen a cultural shift in this end of things. And frankly, Jordan, I wish we hadn't seen it. I wish we hadn't done it this way, because frankly, we're fearing something that we shouldn't be fearful of. We had a president years ago that said, you know, the only fear is fear itself. And yet we're not saying that today.
There's a lot of fear out there. You're right. That's not, although President Trump has said, don't let it dominate your life. Don't fear it. And of course, all the public health people went crazy when he said that, because they didn't like him to say
no,
that.
No, they don't. And I'm one that would say, I would back that up. Quit fearing the things that you can't even see in this case. Live your life like you normally would. And, it, you know, if something comes along, it comes along and you'll deal with it. That's just what we do as Americans.
Yeah. Well, 212,000 people dying of COVID-related deaths is significant. I mean, that's more than all that we lost in the Vietnam War, Korean War, World War One, you know, combined. Okay, so, you know, this has been taking a huge toll on our economy and people and all the people we've lost. I don't think you would have had those deaths, the vast majority of them, without having COVID having happened.
Although I think the CDC's even come out and said that you'd have probably 90% of those.
anyway? Not, I don't think so.
Yeah, because the they already said the comorbidity is 94%.
Yeah, I mean, yes, people who are older who've already got conditions, you know, go first.
Correct.
But a lot of people have died, you know, that were
correct. Okay, so speaking of all of that, November's open enrollment month, which is coming up here in just a couple of weeks.
And a lot of people have lost their health insurance because it's tied to their jobs. And a lot of people lost their jobs. So it's a real issue for a lot of people.
So what's going to happen along those lines?
So the first thing you can do is shop around for health insurance starting November 1st.
Okay.
I've got a website, ehealthinsurance.com, where you can see all the different possibilities and get yourself a good policy you can afford. In general, if you're relatively healthy, get as high a deductible as you can pay.
Correct.
And a low premium. If you pay a higher premium, your deductible is going to go down. But if you don't have that many health bills, it's better to go the other way. Go for a higher deductible, lower premium. But a lot of people can't even afford that these days because premiums have been going up.
Right.
And so there's an alternative. I think we've talked about this in the past, which is called health sharing.
Yep. Yeah. Yes. Good
and that's
alternative,
a really
by
good
the way.
Alternative for people. It really is. So it's kind of, think of it as like a credit union or a co-op for healthcare.
Yeah. Now, and real quick for folks listening, and as MediShare, and there's a couple of them out that are actually out there, Jordan, right. The key there that people have to realize is there are certain things they're going to require you to do lifestyle wise. You know, alcohol consumption, cigarettes, things along those lines. So there's certain things that they're going to require.
Pre-existing conditions. They're going to ask about your health habits. That's correct. So if you're smoking, I don't think you're going to be able to get in. But no. That's a good thing because you want a basically healthy base.
Yeah, because sharing. It's not a health insurance. It's a health sharing.
That's why I call it a co-op or a credit union for health.
Yep. Well said.
You put money into it. Everybody puts a certain amount of money, typically about a third of what traditional health insurance premiums would be. And then you pay expenses out of that account. But if you don't have enough money, other people's money from other accounts goes into yours to pay those health coverage. And if you have money left over, that's used for other people. So, and they do this in a very efficient way. So the two biggest ones are MediShare and U.S. Health Share.
Okay.
I've got links to both of them in the resource section of moneyanswers.com. And that's a good alternative for an awful
lot of
people.
No, it really is. And for those of you listening, and most of you know my story, my brother has brain cancer. Talked to him today, actually, and he's on MediShare. I'll just say it. I don't think he would care. And the reality, Jordan, is he's had that now for going on 2 years, and he still has it, and he still pays into it. And
he's probably had massive bills paid by others,
and they've paid all of them.
Yeah. So a lot of people are not familiar. They've been around for about 25 years, mm-hmm. And they've got millions of people enrolled.
Yep.
And
and the reason I use it as an example is some would say, well, you know, if you have some sort of a catastrophic thing happen, are they going to pay? Yeah, they are.
Correct. A lot of people are contributing to that, a lot, to make that happen.
Yes.
But it's a good, I mean, they do risk sharing, and they're not going to let you in if you're on your deathbed or you've been smoking really bad
habits.
No,
for example, when
he
joined, I don't know, he's been with them for probably, I don't know, now he's probably in 5 years now that he's been with them. And when he joined, of course, he had no issues. There was no underlying, you know, health problems, nothing along those lines. And what happened to him is sort of a freak thing. Doesn't happen to very many people. And they knew that. And that's why they've paid.
Right. Exactly. So anyway, you really want health insurance during a pandemic, or at least some way to cover your health expenses. And that health sharing is another alternative a lot of people are not aware of.
And just as a side note, because I have not checked into this, have they changed any of the way they do enrollments or anything along those lines with COVID, Jordan, or do you know if anything's changed there?
I think if you have an active case, they're not going to accept you. But if you have no symptoms or anything like that, I think they're going to accept you. I don't think they would like to take people who are actively having symptoms and they're actually sick from it.
Okay, let's talk about mortgages and things along those lines as soon as we come back. Listen to Jordan Goodman, by the way. If you got a question for Jordan, call us right now, 303-477-5600. Michael Bailey Law, Mobile Estate Planning. By the way, we're talking about finances and all the different things. We're going to get into mortgages in a moment. But when it comes to what happens with the stuff you leave behind, you need a great estate plan in order to make that happen. And Michael Bailey can help you with that. Go to klzradio.com or call him directly at 720-394-6887.
Your estate plan may have big tax implications for your loved ones. Schedule a free consultation now with KLZ's mobile estate planner, Michael Bailey. Recent changes in the tax law, like the SECURE Act, have already impacted passing on your IRA. Because of today's relatively low tax rates, you need to meet with Michael Bailey now, before the election, so you can set up your plan before things might change again. Make some wise moves before things change again. KLZradio.com/estate.
Yeah, all right, up next, Pier 4 Chevrolet. And if you're looking to buy a new or used vehicle, doesn't matter what it is. Sometimes some of you listening may want to trade up, trade down. Doesn't make any difference. In fact, they'll buy good, clean, used vehicles right now. That's another option for some of you that may be in a situation where you need to make a change in your life. They can help you with that. And or if you're looking to buy a new vehicle, just life's changed, you need a different vehicle. Some of you that have fleets that are looking to buy new vehicles as you head into winter, they can help you with that as well. Find them at pure4chevrolet.com. Don't forget the great deal in the 2020 Colorado Z71 with a diesel. That's $38,250. They've got that vehicle on their lot as we speak. 303-659-8311 or pure4chevrolet.com.
Hi, my name is Denny. I've been a customer of Pure 4 Chevrolet since 1994, and I got attracted to Pure 4 because I was and still am a Corvette enthusiast. They were recommended to me to do modifications to my Corvette, and it's transpired into over a 25-year relationship now with the dealership. Over the course of the years, I probably purchased 24 Corvettes and numerous company vehicles for my business, and it's just been an outstanding relationship all these years. If you're a Corvette enthusiast, there's probably not a better place to take a Corvette for service or any modifications you'd like to make. And from the day I came up there back in 1992, you just come away impressed. I've known Rolly now for 20-some years, and a good business relationship turned into a very, very good personal friendship.
Hi, I'm Rolly Purefoy. We're just up the road in Fort Lupton and on the web at purefoychevrolet.com. Find new roads.
When politicians want to raise taxes, they're supposed to give you a say in the matter. They're not supposed to sidestep the law and make you pay more without your approval. But that's exactly what politicians are doing. And that's why we need Proposition 117. Proposition 117 gives us, the taxpayers, a voice. It allows us to vote on large fee increases, which we all know are just hidden taxes. For far too long, politicians in Colorado have raised the cost of car registrations, health insurance, and even hospital stays without giving voters a choice. They get away with it by calling their cost increases fees instead of tax hikes. Voting yes on Proposition 117 would change that and stop the hidden tax hikes. Vote yes on Proposition 117 to give Coloradans the voice they deserve. Paid for by Unite for Colorado. Katie Kennedy, registered agent.
It's time to leave your safe space. This is Rush to Reason on KLZ 560.
Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. Myself, Andy Pate, Charlie Grimes, Jordan Goodman, America's Money Answer Man, with us during this first hour. Let's talk about mortgages and where people are at on those, Jordan.
So we have 30-year fixed-rate mortgages below 3%, pretty amazing, about 2.8, something yep. like that. 15-year, about 2.5, just yep. incredibly low rates. So certainly makes sense to look into refinancing. A lot of people have been doing that. If your current mortgage is maybe 3.5% or higher, as amazing as that is,
yeah, you can still go called, lower.
It's possible, but you never know. A website, you can refi, youcanrefi.com, can find the best rates for you anywhere in the country. So that's on refinancing your existing mortgage, but obviously it's been fueling the housing market as well.
Yes,
people
it has.
Buying new homes yep. Dramatically. Home sales have been up really sharply lately. Some of it is the low mortgage rates, but some of it is people leaving the cities.
Correct.
With the proceeds from selling there and moving into bigger places. The central cities of this country are really hurting, and they're going to hurt further because of high taxes, high crime, and a lot of virus there. So those are the three reasons that people are leaving. And so whether it be San Francisco, I assume that's happening in Denver, Chicago, New
yeah,
York,
Boston. Yeah,
you know,
it's interesting here. A lot of our outer areas are doing extremely well. In fact, right now in Colorado, Jordan, if you don't have all of your ducks in a row, either a cash offer or have all of your funding, not, you know, not just approved, but I mean, you've got to have basically everything
right.
but the appraisal and the title work and, you know, and then go to closing. If you're not to that level to where everything is approved, and you can't get something done within about, oh, in other words, if a house goes on the market and you're not doing something within 48 hours, it's gone.
It's crazy. It's true. There's a shortage. And people who are well-financed, and it's not only people wanting to live in the homes, but investors, too.
Correct.
Because they're looking for returns, and the rental market is pretty tight, too. So if people buy these homes and rent them out, they can earn a nice return on their money as well. So yeah, you're right. People who can't qualify, who don't have enough for a down payment, it's really hard to buy a home in this environment. So that's another outgrowth of the low mortgage rates, which does help the economy. I mean, that is one of the clear bright spots in the economy is the housing market. Because it's not only housing, well, but when people move in, they buy all kinds of other stuff.
Thank you. Yeah, it's all the ancillary things that happen when you buy a house. And even if you've moved from one house to another, there's things in the next house you're going to do that weren't in the last house that involve spending money.
This is what's called the multiplier effect.
That's right. And it's so, there. Trust me, it's
it
there.
It is. People buy carpeting and
you buy
TVs
bedspreads, you buy drapes, you buy all sorts of stuff that you didn't have in the last place.
So that's
place,
very positive
and it
for the
fuels
economy. Right. That is. But a lot of people being left behind, particularly in the cities. I mean, I would not want to be a big city mayor
this
environment where your tax base is rushing out of the city and you're left with the poorer people who are going to have huge, huge needs. If you keep raising taxes, you're just going to drive people out.
So as a side note, Jordan, when it comes to the investing side of the fence, you know, you're a money guy. When it comes to some of those cities that have, you know, folks out there that have invested money in bonds and different projects in those cities, do they hang in there? What do they do?
Well, I think those bonds are going to be downgraded because the paying ability of those cities is going to go down. I mean, I'm here near New York City. It is really hurting. I mean, they've been having layoffs. The mayor himself laid himself off for a week, and everybody had forced furloughs. It's not close to enough for what, you know, nobody's going into the city. There's no reason to go into New York City now. Broadway is closed. They just said recently till next June 30th, there's going to be no more Broadway shows. Lincoln Center and all the music is closed. All the museums are closed. All the businesses have nobody going into them. There's no reason to go into the city. And so people don't. And that is really hurting their tax revenues.
Yeah, and this is just kind of goes back to our conversation a little earlier. Here's my fear. When we do the things that we're doing and people reestablish habits, which is what they do, you may not see some of those things come back for quite some time.
Right. Well, I mean, the reality is a lot of restaurants particularly and other small businesses are closing permanently.
Yeah.
Permanently. They're getting no PPP loans. They just can't survive anymore. So, I mean, in New York, tons of restaurants are going under, tons. And small businesses all over the place. You drive around and see strip malls with 3-4 empty stores in there that used to have something in there. So this is what I was saying before, is that the small businesses are really taking it on the chin here. And with no PPP loans, a lot of them just have given up at this point. They're closing left and right.
And where are those people going? Are they staying in those areas? Are they moving out? What are they doing?
Some of them are moving out. Yeah, I mean, certainly people are moving out of the city. I saw a recent post office that said that over 500,000 people have had permanent changes of address out of New York City in the last 6 months. Half a million have done permanent change of address with the post office. That's correct.
That's a big number, by the way.
And these are the wealthy people. It's not the poor ones who are moving out. It's the ones who bring the tax base with them. Where are they going? They're going to Florida, Texas, low-tax states. New Jersey just added a new surtax on millionaires, so that drives people out of New Jersey even more.
So again, these people that, you know, these politicians, I should say, which just as a side note, I don't think most politicians have a lick of business sense. I'm saying most. I'm not saying all, because I know there are some that do, but most don't have any business sense when it comes to what you and I are talking about right now. Otherwise, they'd be doing things differently, and they wouldn't be creating some of these new habits that people are creating, and they wouldn't have people moving out of their cities.
Correct. But I think almost all the big cities, the same is true as Chicago. So you're going to get into this cycle where people move out, the tax base goes away, you raise more taxes, you force more people to move out.
That's right.
It is definitely a vicious cycle.
All right.
And so that's going to hurt the credit ratings of these cities for
sure. I fully agree. Craig, you're up next. You're on with Jordan Goodman. Go ahead, Craig.
Hi, John, Jordan.
Hey, Craig.
Exactly what you're talking about. The large cities, the Democratic cities with the high taxation, especially New York City, and people that have the wherewithal to move out, and a large portion of their tax base comes from the wealthy, and they decide they've had enough. How sustainable are these cities? Do these cities just become ghost towns?
Happening right now. I mean, if you go into New York City, it's not 100% ghost town, but I'd say it's 80% a ghost town. I mean, again, the reasons people go to cities aren't there anymore.
Right.
People work from home. They're not going to the skyscrapers. There's no entertainment. A lot of the retail stores are closed or been looted. So, yeah, I mean, a lot of these cities are not sustainable as they are today economically. And I don't see that changing. Even if Biden were to come in and spend a ton of money, it's not as they're going to turn around the demographics in these major
changes.
No,
because to your point, to Craig and Jordan both, once these new habits are established, these people have moved out, you think they're going to move back? Of course not. They've established a new habit. They're gone. Yeah, they're done.
It's permanent.
Yeah, it's a permanent deal.
Yeah, it is.
And what about, you know, these multi, you know, the skyline of New York City within the past few years, all these, you know, multiple super high rises with exorbitant.
They're empty. So, I mean, all these, they call them pencil towers, like along 57th Street mm-hmm. and all that. These just straight-up buildings, there's several of them along 57th Street. Most of them are empty right now. They built them, of course, when things were going much more.
The billionaires row, okay, the banks that finance the construction of these, and who pays for the maintenance on these, the heating and keeping
Great question, Craig. Maintained
the developers, when there's no tenants?
Yeah. The developers, and they're going to be in real trouble, and
yes,
that's already
are.
Happening. Yep. Another one is Hudson Yards, which is this 20 million square foot development on the west side, which opened just before all this happened.
Wow.
I was there recently just to kind of see it. They have a very, very fancy mall with the fanciest stores and restaurants anywhere in the world. It's closed. You can't even go in to see what's in there. So
are those big institutional investors, Jordan, that have invested into those? And Craig, I'm going to let you go. I'm going to finish up with Jordan. Are those
big institutional investors,
or who's got the money in those?
That's correct. It was loans by big banks and pension funds and all the institutions that lent money to them. I think they're putting aside money. This morning, J.P. Morgan put aside $10 billion for loan losses. That may not be enough for these kind of things.
Wow. Okay. There's a lot to talk about. Jordan, I appreciate it. Always good, and we'll have you back. We'll see what happens next month. The election will be done by then. We'll have lots to talk about.
Absolutely. So always glad to get their emails at moneyanswers.com.
Appreciate it, Jordan. Take care, sir.
All right. Thank you, John.
All right. American National Insurance is next, folks. My good friend, he is my friend and my insurance agent as well, Paul Leuenberger. He'd love to help you out with all of your insurance needs. 303-662-0789. Again, American National Insurance, 303-662-0789.
Paul Leuenberger with American National Insurance offers a rebate program unlike any other. Every year that you don't file a claim, you get a certain percentage of your money back. Just one example of how Paul Leuenberger, the personal insurance agent of John Rush, keeps your rates so low. He rewards his customers for their diligence and responsibility. Paul can also help you strategize about when to file a claim and when to pay out of pocket so you save more money in the long run. You don't want to shop online for insurance because you have no idea what you're buying. You need Paul Leuenberger with American National, the no surprises insurance agent. Call 303-662-0789. That's 303-662-0789. And ask Paul Leuenberger with American National Insurance for details about his unique rebate program for home and auto insurance. Talk to somebody with the expertise to advise you so you get the coverage you expect.
Stay up to date with Rush to Reason after the show on Twitter at Rush to Reason and on Facebook.com/Rush to Reason.
Charlie was just telling Andy and I, by the way, that Hudson Gardens, that Jordan Goodman was just talking about a few minutes ago, Hudson Yards, that Jordan was talking about a few minutes ago, I guess CNN had moved in there right before COVID hit, and now they're all there, and there's nothing open to where they can even go and have lunch or do anything along those lines. It's basically, as Jordan just said a moment ago, a ghost town.
Well, I feel terrible for CNN. I know that's hard.
You know who I feel terrible for are the developers, but no, I don't feel bad for CNN for some reason.
And I am kidding.
No, I know, but I do feel bad for the developers in those particular... And I know a lot of you would say, well, you know, developers have big, you know, deep pockets. No, not always. You'd be surprised sometimes how shallow some of those pockets actually are because of the amount of money they invest to get that development off the ground. If you've never been on that side of the fence, it's one of those things you probably shouldn't say anything about.
Well, and it's not always one guy's money. A lot of times it's many investors that
they've
rallied together.
That's exactly right. Well said. All right, we'll come right back. Hour number two is next. Don't go anywhere. Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560.